Welcome to the Near Post Local, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. In this edition of the Near Post Local, we'll speak to Ray Juna, coach of Canberra United, and review their first round performance in the W League. Get a quick update on scores for the ACT under-15s and under-14 boys team who are playing in the youth tournament at Coffs Harbour. Tonight, we have an interview that itself is a fascinating little piece on futsal in Australia in particular. Ever heard of Vikings futsal? No? Yes? Well, CEO Alistair Miller is about to tell us who they are and what they do. This is the sort of organisation that just gets things done, all for the players, referees and coaches. They don't waste time admiring the problem. They set up a business model that is self-sustaining and able to reinvest in the sport and provide facilities, coaching development and referee development, player opportunities to the highest levels. Now this is the sort of model we should pay particular attention to. We can always learn from others. Now you won't find Vikings futsal in the ACT. The reason is simple. We have a reasonable futsal structure here, and Vikings futsal is the sort of organisation that goes where the need is greatest. We can learn from this. We should learn from this, particularly in light of the disastrous A-League bid for Canberra. Well worth listening to. So let's get on with it. We're talking to Ray Juna, Coach Juna of Canberra United. They've just concluded their first round game against Brisbane Roar and went down 3-0 in sweltering conditions, Ray.
Yes, was very hot, over 30 degrees. So
nothing like Canberra.
Yeah, look, the girls felt the pinch, especially in the second half. We ran out of steam a bit and they sort of ran over the top of us. Unfortunately, lost 3-0. There's a few positives in the game there, so we'll try and take, obviously, as much as we can out of the game and move on.
Yeah, indeed. Look, as I watched on ABC TV, the first 30 minutes I thought were sensational football for Canberra United. It was real possession game stuff. The sort of stuff you've been trying to inculcate into the team.
The girls have, grasped the concepts, especially against a unit like Brisbane, to be able to do that at that higher intensity. Rather pleasing. Now we just got to try and do that over a long period under a little bit more fatigue, which people revert back to their old habits. And that's what ended up happening as we got under a little bit of pressure or under a little bit of stress more than anything, because we were under pressure, or they were trying to pressure us, but we done quite well. So that was encouraging. So make the girls aware of what they did in that first 30 minutes and obviously try and make that 30 minutes into 90 minutes.
It's a third of the game. It was a very substantial component of the game, and as I looked at it, I thought to myself, well, they've really blunted Brisbane here, and they're well in control. You got the ball, you're going to score.
Yeah, look, we created two really good opportunities, if you can't convert those at that level, it's going to come back and bite you, the higher level you go, that's what it becomes, being able to convert the chances, regardless if you create six chances and take all six, or create six and take one, you've got to at least take one. Some teams create one chance and score that one opportunity, so the higher percentage you have in that area, the better off you're going to be. So we missed a couple of chances early, and then they had a half a chance, a little bit of a blunder by our keeper and our centre back, and that sort of deflated the girls a bit, but they sort of kept going on to half time. And we spoke about it at half time about keep working hard, but I think the heat took it a little bit out on a couple of girls, and they unfortunately scored a, their second goal was also from our centre back. So, the first two goals were, I'm not going to say we gave them to them, but the ones that were very preventable, you give good teams like Brisbane and those two goals start, it makes it difficult coming back, and it proved to be.
Player error is, part of the game, and I thought that accounted for two of the goals. I thought one of the ones put on you was just a smashing shot.
Oh, yeah.
It was a real cracker. That first 30 minutes indicated to me that the pattern of play was evident for all to see that you're trying to introduce, and it's quite a formidable one when it's up and operating for the predominance of the game.
Yeah, very encouraging. Mm. We're going to try and play that style of football. I mean, teams know how we play now, being on TV. We put it out there.
Yep.
Now it's a matter of, doing it, repetitively, and the other team's trying to stop it. So, looking forward to the rest of the season, and the girls are as well. We had a training session yesterday, and they're all positive.
Yep.
We're looking forward to the next game.
And your next game, of course, is against Sydney FC.
That's on Saturday.
Yep, that's the home game out at McKellar.
Yep. What time do you kick off, mate?
It's a 5 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, good. Yep.
So come out and support the girls. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. Last year we had a great following. So
yes.
Hopefully we get the same parochial crowd out there and get behind the girls and give us that home advantage that we're looking for.
Well, in playing the style of football that's now been declared to the rest of the competition is something really worth going and watching.
You know, we play an exciting game, hopefully, and people enjoy watching it in terms of, you know, pleasing to the eye. Hopefully people can get out there and give us some support.
Any injuries?
No, nothing too serious. It's going to put anyone out. Yeah, no, we've lost Emily Van Egmont to the under-17s, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes.
But hopefully we'll, you know, Shelley, hopefully we'll get a clearance from Spain, and, you know, that's, you know, a great pickup for us if Sally gets cleared.
Yes.
But, you know, there's other girls out there that are capable to fill in for Emily. We've got a full squad to pick from.
In previous interviews, we've spoken about training. So now that you're in season proper, what's your training regime like on return?
Look, after on Sunday, we return on Saturday night. Sunday, we had a recovery session just in the pool.
Yep.
Half an hour. Monday, we did a video analysis of the game.
Yep.
And Monday afternoon, after that video analysis, we have an hour sort of light technical work.
Yep.
Tuesday, we still do gym in the morning and the Tuesday afternoon off. And then we train Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and play Saturday. So still fairly full on, but obviously not as long in terms of time, in terms of the session. It's fairly high intensity, but not as much volume. So we're picking up, you know, obviously game mode and game speed. So things are done at a higher level. So you don't need the volume there. But we still need to work on those pattern shapes and, you know, decision making.
Yes.
So you still need to work on those. Only the one day off, or 2 days off, you want to call a Sunday the recovery day, which is an off day, but the girls are still working fairly hard, and later on, as we go deeper into the season, you know, maybe another day off.
Do you still train the fringe players as well as you're going forward?
Yeah. Look, the girls that don't play, they'll do a harder session on the Monday afternoon, a little bit of extra running in terms of nothing too long, you know, two-on-twos or one-on-one type sort of scenarios. They've still got the decision making and football component in there, rather than just straight line running.
Yes, of course. Well, Ray, the result mightn't have favoured you, but that first 30 minutes of football said everything about the way this season's going to shape up, and it looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, come out and watch us.
Oh.
And, hopefully we can maintain that sort of football for a longer duration of the game.
Terrific. See you there at the ground, mate.
Okay.
Okay, Ray. Bye-bye.
The 2009 FFA National Youth Championships for boys are underway at Coffs Harbour as we speak. That is under 14 boys and under 15 boys. The ACT is represented in both age groups. Look, both teams have had a fantastic start. Day one, the under 14 boys played Football West and beat them 5-3. A better start couldn't have been hoped for. The under 15 boys matched them. They played Football West and won 2-1. It was a good result. Moving on to day two, and things just got better. Our teams played New South Wales Country, and our under 14 boys slammed them 5-0. And if that wasn't good enough, the under 15 boys matched them again. They played New South Wales Country and won 2-1. Closer game, of course. Now we move on to day three. The under 14 boys played the Northern Territory and won 5-0. The under 15 boys played South Australia. They weren't so lucky. They were beaten 1-0. Must have been a close game. That leaves both of our teams well positioned in their group. This is important because it'll determine who goes through to the next round. But a few more games yet to be played. But a fantastic start for both teams. And this is important because you will recall that our under 13 boys had a miserable campaign earlier in the year. So this is a pretty robust response from Capital Football. Well done so far. We'll be watching closely. We're speaking to Alastair Miller, the CEO of Vikings Futsal. Now here in the ACT, the near post listener's first reaction might be, well, who is Vikings Futsal? They may even think of the Vikings Rugby Club or the Tuggeranong Vikings Swim Club, but futsal? Well, there's no such thing as Vikings Futsal in the ACT. So what's our interest here at the Near Post Local? Well, the Vikings Futsal organisation are a very progressive organisation, dedicated to futsal around Australia and our wider geographic region. They're rather unique. In the ACT, we have a proud history of futsal participation, a peak body capital football that's more recently putting a solid effort into promoting futsal and integrating futsal into high performance programs for football. So perhaps we can learn from Vikings Futsal, an organisation that could be said to be a fair dinkum futsal organisation. Welcome, Alistair.
Yes, Peter, welcome. How are you?
Not too bad. Well, after that introduction, tell us about Vikings Futsal.
Yes, well, Vikings Futsal Association is an organisation that's operating across Australia. Its primary focus is futsal as a sport, and I say that in the sense that there are still a lot of people out there who consider futsal to be a form of training or something to do in the off-season to football, but we focus on futsal as a sport in itself. Vikings was actually started around about 1992, and to give you the background, we formed a National League team called the Vikings to play in the old AFF National League. Around about 1998, Queensland Futsal was asked to go into Victoria to assist in getting the sport going down there. It had fallen into a few problems, and we decided to form an organisation called Vikings Futsal Association to go to Victoria and do that.
Oh, that's how you kicked off.
Yes, on the basis that Queensland Futsal, by its constitution, couldn't trade outside Queensland.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So we went into Victoria, and I must admit, quite unsuccessfully. We withdrew from there about year 2000, but then out of the blue, we started getting contact from different groups, areas, saying, could Vikings come into our area and start futsal because nothing's happening. So over a period of time, we went into Tasmania. And I have to stress here that when we went into Tasmania, I contacted the old Australian Soccer Federation. George Dick was then in charge, and I said to George, what do you think? He contacted Tasmanian Soccer, who said, yeah, by all means, have a go. We went in and got it up and running. The same with New Zealand. We went into New Zealand in around 2004. And on the same basis, we contacted New Zealand Soccer and just said we'd like to get futsal going, and they didn't have a problem with it. Then in Northern New South Wales, we had a couple of clubs around the Lismore area who wanted to affiliate with us, mainly because we're closer in Brisbane. As we built up all the clubs in that area, more and more people came to us and said, could you start futsal here and here and here? Vikings is now trading in Queensland, Northern New South Wales, New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia, now West Australia and New Zealand.
That's amazing. Now, but clearly you were able to do that because in those early years, Vikings Futsal must have built up a pretty formidable operation in Queensland.
That's true. If you go back to around about 1998, we had 16 full-time staff, and yes, that's 11 years ago. The other big factor we had was the expertise.
Yes.
We had staff who were trained and knew how to go into a new area and get the sport going. And we still have that expertise today. I also have to add that one of the reasons why Vikings has won, moved so quickly and been so successful is basically in the period from 2001 through to now, there's been a vacuum of development of the sport.
Yes, that's quite obvious, isn't it?
The old Australian Futsal Federation went in receivership or liquidation around about 2000-2001. Well, Australian Soccer Federation took the sport over, but in taking the sport over, it more was a case of, all right, well, we've taken this over, but we don't really want anything to do with it. We'll just put it on the back burner. And of course, that vacuum existed there. And sitting in my office in Brisbane, I would get phone calls from all places saying, the sport's going to die if you guys don't do something because no one else is going to do anything. And that's where we are today.
Well, it sounds to me like Vikings Futsal had nothing short of missionary zeal where futsal was concerned.
Well, we did, Peter, and often people come to me and say, why did you do it? And I suppose, similar to what Sir Edmund Hillary said when he was asked why did he climb Mount Everest, it was there.
It's a pretty good reason.
Basically, it was there, and it's very hard when people ring you and say, look, futsal's folded here, we don't know what to do, can you guys help? You sort of feel, well, we all love futsal as a sport, and we all want futsal to happen, so we did something. To give you a practical example, which I must say broke my heart, one year I, and this is going back about 2 years ago, I drove from Melbourne to Sydney to have a look through northern Victoria and also the southern New South Wales area. Going back 15 years ago, futsal was massive in the Riverina. You're talking Cootamundra, Wagga, Tamora, Junee, all had strong futsal clubs.
Is that right?
I stopped at every town and visited the indoor centre to say hello. Futsal had collapsed in every centre, and everybody I spoke to said the same. When are you guys coming in here?
Is that just because sort of the bush gone through a hard patch? Or?
No, I think it's because there's actually no development of the game anymore. It's all right for an individual in Junee to have a passion for futsal and want to drive it, etc., but they need to have a structure of support.
Certainly do.
And that structure of support's gone. Yeah. And as I said, it was very sad that you're driving around, and I can remember actually when the national titles were held in Cootamundra, and that's going back to 1990, and I took three teams there. And yeah. It's sad. It is sad to see the sport collapsed.
Goodness me. Now, look, with regard to Vikings futsal, how many clubs are you operating?
Last season we had about 160 centres, so across all the areas I mentioned.
That's all around Australia, though, isn't it?
All around Australia. With now being contracted to deliver the sport of futsal in the PCYCs of New South Wales, and also normal growth, i.e. in Perth at the moment, we're looking to around about 6 to 8 centres in our first year.
Goodness.
We've already got two running. I would say we're going to go close to the 200 mark this year.
That's remarkable. Now, in relation to staff, how many full-time and part-time staff have you got engaged to support this operation?
Well, full-time would be probably around about 50 to 60 mark, and that includes New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then part-time, well, when you say part-time, talking centre managers or I won't include referees, but centre managers, obviously you're looking at about another 200 centre managers.
Truth. You've got some operation there, Alistair.
It is. It's a massive operation. And one of the things we set up very early, and I got this idea from the structure of the USA Soccer League back in 1994, is we try and control every dollar in the sport.
Yep.
So that if there's overseas tours, we run overseas tours. If there's merchandising, selling balls and shoes, we merchandise. The centres where the match fees are paid, we try and run the centres and have part-time or volunteer people run those centres. Because my argument is that if the money comes back into Vikings, we know it's then going to be spent on developing futsal.
Oh, yes. Isn't it amazing how much money leaks out of sport into areas that have got no interest whatever in promoting it?
Totally right. And one of the things I get annoyed about is you see basketball associations running futsal competitions so that they can generate money for their basketball club.
It's insane.
You see travel agents driving very fancy cars where they've made money off futsal tours. And I say this to people, if you organise your tours with Vikings futsal, the profits go back into developing futsal. If you organise it with a local travel agent, it goes into his profit.
And that's a very important connection for the listener to make. Vikings futsal is a not-for-profit organisation, isn't it?
It is. It's a not-for-profit organisation. And all the profits go back into developing the sport. And people often say, how do you develop the sport? Well, very simple. We've just started in West Australia. Mm-hmm. This year in West Australia, I'd estimate we'll lose $30,000 to $40,000.
Yeah.
Why are we stupid enough to do that? Because at the end of the day, in 5 years' time, with that investment, then that area will be developed with futsal.
So you're playing the long game.
We're looking at developing the sport. So the profits we make in one area, we can then use to develop other areas. But the profits can also be used, for example, there's a tournament in Christchurch with Vikings teams from all over Australia attending, men and women. Mm. Even the West Australian teams have gone over. Mm. It will cost us $20,000 to $30,000 to run that tournament.
Yep.
Why do we do it? Because at the end of the day, we have to offer goals to our players.
Yes.
When the men's and women's teams compete at our national titles, they play for free. There's no entry fees because the men's and women's competition is the pinnacle of the sport. So all the teams have to do is nominate, and they can play. That's in the state series, I mean.
Yep.
So the money we generate, we then have to put back into the sport, one, to obviously get more people playing, but also to provide goals in the sport for people to aim for.
So essentially, this mission of yours with regard to futsal, to develop futsal, is about doing the greatest good for the greatest number.
Totally correct. And if you look at the sport of futsal, I'm still a firm believer that we have to get greater mass participation. We're still a young sport. There's a tendency overseas with countries trying to develop futsal to start at the top, which I think's wrong.
Yes.
They're starting national leagues when they don't even have anybody playing the game. To me, you need to have 100,000 to 150,000 people in Australia playing futsal as their chosen sport, so that then you can then create the elite side of it.
Truly, I wish, and I reckon there'd be the odd listener out there who would agree with me, I truly wish that football had the same philosophical approach. The words are there, but I don't always think the actions are.
Also, coming from a football soccer background, I think you're right, and I think sometimes one of the problems in Australia is that because of the size of the sport of football, there are too many, can I say, committees and groups all independently with different ideas, and therefore that leads to different problems. And I have to say, we have that same problem with state football bodies and FFA, in that some of them are agreeable and think we're doing a great job, and some of us, some have actually told us we're going to drive you out of this state.
Right. Well, I want to get back onto that in a minute.
Yep.
But just before we touch on that, how many players, all ages, would you imagine that Vikings Futsal has contact or engages with over a calendar year? I mean, a big question.
We've done an estimate, and last year, around about 35,000.
35,000.
Now, in saying that, that's registered players, but also our school program.
Yes.
Maybe where our school program is probably one of the biggest for any sport in Australia. This year, touch wood, we should touch the 2,000 team mark for teams that have played in the Viking school titles.
Is that right?
Yes. Now,
that's remarkable.
How that's structured is we run regional titles all over Australia where we're based. The winners of those regional tournaments then come together to be a state champion.
Yes.
And then the state champions all come to the Australasian champions.
Yes. Well, I have to say, looking at your website, one of the first things that strikes me, by comparison to other alternatives, is the obvious organised galaxy of representative opportunities. So I'm just looking and I see school champion of champions, national school futsal championships, a Premier League, Superliga championships, junior champion of champions, Vikings Pacific senior regional titles. I mean, what else? There's lots of them there.
Yes, look, we do have a lot of elite programs, and once again, it gets back to what I said at the beginning, that we're trying to create elite paths for our players within the structure. So you have your mass participation, which I think is the most important thing for the sport, but then you have to offer some sort of structure or career path where those who do want to take it a little bit more seriously have that opportunity to do so. Now, like any sport, 90% of those who play futsal just want to roll up, have a game, go home.
Absolutely.
But you get that 10% who actually want to be coached, want to learn, have dreams of playing professionally overseas, and would like to play in a national league or a super league.
Yes.
What we're trying to do is offer that for futsal people. And I stress that we're offering it for futsal people, not for football players who want something to do in the summer.
Does Vikings run futsal all year round?
Yes.
I just reflect here in the ACT, our winter competition is pretty much dead, and summer it blossoms, comes totally alive.
That's similar to some other parts of Australia. I, in discussions with football bodies and with other futsal people, have said, if we wish to compete at elite level in this game internationally, we have to play all year round, because that's what other countries are doing.
Yes.
And there's no point fooling ourselves about that. If you go to Brazil, the futsal season starts in February and ends in November, and it's in opposition to football. If you go to Europe, they have futsal all year round. We are never going to compete internationally if we just play this game for 10 weeks of the year.
Yes, that's very true. Now, that being the case, at some point, Vikings futsal must interface with the FFA and the state and territory associations. Could you just speak to that complicated issue a little bit, please, Alistair?
I think it's important as well. We have the focus of what we want to do, and I can't see any reason why it can't work in with the FFA or state football bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's no secret that over the last 6 months I've had two meetings with FFA, and I also had four or five meetings with New South Wales Football.
Are you able to talk about those outcomes at all?
Well, I think the New South Wales Football outcome is fairly common knowledge, that we came to agreement on most areas except for the area of money. It got down to that the registration fee that New South Wales Football wanted to charge us, we considered far too high, especially in terms of the fact that we were employing people in New South Wales to develop the sport. The very point was that the registration fees we collected, we needed to employ people. If we just collect them and hand them on to the state football body, then we can't employ people.
Well, yes, you're internalising a cost with no return, which is to your detriment. But could I just ask in respect to that, who was the capitation fee being paid to? Who was doing the insurance coverage on the individual player?
New South Wales Football.
Right, okay. So there obviously was going to be some exchange of funds to cover respective costs.
Well, not really. One of the issues that I also brought up in one of the meetings was that with our numbers, our insurance is cheaper than the insurance some of the state football bodies are getting.
I see. So there was an alternative.
Yes. Oh, we have our own insurance policy all year round anyway.
Right.
And that's not a criticism of New South Wales Football, because I wasn't aware, but New South Wales Football have a blank policy covering both outdoor players and futsal players.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
The injury rate in outdoor is 7 times higher than futsal. So therefore, when you even out the insurance, the average is a little bit higher when you're combining football and futsal. But our attitude was, we have our own insurance policy that is cheapest, so we may as well continue to use that.
Yes, and certainly, if you, just from our experience in the ACT, you'll at the start of the football season, you'll pay, a family will pay a registration fee for its children to play. And if it wants, if you want to play futsal, well, the family will pay another registration fee. So it should be possible to separate these things out, shouldn't it not?
Yes, yes. Now, there has been talk about just having one registration fee across Australia for football and futsal. Personally, I don't have an issue with that, because I think there's a lot of administrative savings for everybody in that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you'll find that the clubs themselves, whether they be Vikings clubs or whether they be clubs run by others, like in your area, will still charge a membership fee.
Well, yes,
because they have
that's
to.
That's right. They will pass back on to the peak body the capitation fee. Yeah.
Yep. So at the end of the day, the club itself also needs to collect some form of registration fee as well as match fees for its services.
So where did this bring you to with New South Wales? It's a vexed little commercial issue, isn't it?
Both parties have walked away and negotiations have stopped.
Right.
Now, at the same time, in talking to SSA, basically negotiations have stopped there as well. And not on bad terms. As I said, my attitude right now at this time of the year is we're now heading up here in Queensland. We're in our third week of sign-ons.
Mm.
We're just going to get on and do the job, get the sign-ons done, get the competition started, and when an SSA or a state football body comes back to us, yes, we'll talk again.
When you say you're affiliated with these state organisations, what do you
mean? No, we're not affiliated to state football bodies.
No, you're affiliated to state futsal organisations, aren't you?
No, we are the state futsal organisation.
You are the state futsal
yes.
organisation.
Yep.
Right. Ah, well, that's an interesting dynamic for the FFA, isn't it?
Well, when I say we are the state futsal organisations, I'm meaning that we have our own state bodies in each state.
Yes.
In each state, you have a state football body
yes.
who has been passed, shall I say, the rights of futsal by FFA.
Yes.
However, at the end of the day, we're not affiliated to any of those bodies in any state.
No.
We have talked to nearly every state, and I have to say, got nowhere.
Yes.
At the end of the day, we're operating basically as a quasi-state body in all those states.
That's most interesting, because you're certainly spread like wildfire.
Well, Peter, I again put it down to what I said before. We have spread like wildfire because there's a vacuum.
My understanding of the FFA's instruction to the state bodies is that they were to, if I could use the word, incorporate futsal, whatever futsal was going on
yep.
in their state under the one umbrella and progress it. Now, very clearly, not every state football body has done that with it. Or if they have, it's with varying degrees of success and care.
It varies dramatically.
Mm.
From state to state, the attitude towards futsal varies dramatically. And not naming the state, but I know of a friend who 2 years ago moved to a state and rang up the state football body to find out the local futsal club and was informed, we don't have futsal in this state.
Yeah, I can believe that. There are plenty of coaches that feel that way.
That was the answer. And by the way, I have to say, I actually don't blame the state football bodies for having that attitude.
Oh, interesting point. Yes, go on.
I don't blame them, because the stress and the worry and the problems of running football must be hard enough without then having to take on what is another sport.
Well, I think that's a very perceptive observation. The truth of it is you're absolutely right. Another big job is probably not what they were looking for.
Number of football people I've spoken to, and I'm sure they don't want to name their names, but no. Comment they all make is that when they get to board meetings or when they get to association meetings and they have an agenda, futsal is usually number 52 at the bottom.
Yes.
That when they get to the end of the meeting, they pass over to the next meeting.
Well, Alistair, this is an excellent picture you're drawing for us. Why Vikings futsal? Why has it appeared so robustly on the national and regional scene? And you described it well. It's because everyone else isn't doing much.
Correct.
And you're a dedicated not-for-profit organisation to it, and you're getting on with business. And it's clearly working, and people appear to be voting with their feet.
Both of them. you're totally correct. And in a number of areas at the moment, you take even in South Queensland, a number of clubs are now trying to start up, and their pitch they're selling to people is, we're affiliated to Football Queensland, and if you don't come with us, you can't go to a FIFA tournament. Well, sadly, the men's team go to a FIFA tournament if we manage to qualify.
Yes.
And I have to say, sadly, and I'm probably not going to be a very popular person for this, but saying this, but sadly, I can't see us qualifying again ever until we get futsal being played all year round. Then there's also the Asian Championships, which I think once every 2 years for men.
Yeah.
So what is being offered? A tournament once every 2 years for the men?
Yeah.
That's really not enough for an elite program.
Yeah.
Getting back to the South Queensland issue, we're finding that all our people, A, are not only coming with us, but B, we've got schools and football clubs contacting us to show their loyalty. We're actually doing sign-ons at a number of football clubs who have just totally said, this is wrong, you guys are the best people for futsal, we're supporting you.
Football clubs will look at it that way because they've got to try and return a dividend to their players.
That's correct, and they want their players to go where the best opportunities and the best programs are.
Absolutely right. Well, look, I think it could, we've summed this issue up pretty well, and I guess you're just going to keep doing business and getting stronger because I don't see much movement on the other side of the fence.
Sadly, I have to agree with you, but in saying that, I don't think Football Australia have the structure to develop the sport. Because if you look at what they do with football, they run the elite side of the sport, and let's say at the moment, I have to say, they're running it well. But they don't actually have foot soldiers out there going into towns, getting, hey, come and play this game. That's what we do well.
Well, indeed. Perhaps we haven't quite finished with this issue. What would be wrong with, let's say, the FFA saying to Vikings Futsal, Alistair, come and talk to us, and perhaps we will outsource futsal development and conduct through your organisation, forming an alliance and doing it that way. There's many ways of cutting this cake, surely.
Peter, you're totally correct. Sometimes action defies logic.
Yeah, necessarily controlling every aspect of it doesn't bring you forward of much of where you are.
Mm. Yes, look, I totally agree. And my attitude is we're good at what we do, and I think Football Australia and the state football bodies are good at what they do.
Yeah.
And what we're good at doing is developing the sport, running clubs, and getting a structure in place.
And you're there.
And we're there.
Well, that's Vikings Futsal. We hope the listener out there is a little more informed than when we started this interview. You cannot fail to be impressed with the breadth and scope of Vikings Futsal, its dedication to the development of futsal. It's a non-profit organisation. Its aims and mission are clear. Develop the game in Australia. And what could be better than that? It's the greatest good for the greatest number. High technical standards. It's a can-do organisation. And we need more of that in futsal and certainly in football. Alistair, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Pete.
Well, if you're getting to the near post, get there first. No sense in getting there second. Ball will be in the back of the net. But if you do get there second, look for the rebound. Catch you next week. Go to the podcast. Enjoy your football and futsal. See you later. I need a big weekend. Yeah.
Masters. Yeah, big weekend. If you don't run, you rust.